This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is Peace-a-thon Day. We're happy that you're along with us for the ride this afternoon and this evening, as we'll be going 8 to midnight as well. And what we like to do during Peace-a-thon Day while we raise money for My Possibilities is we like to reach out to our friends and family and say, hey, hop on the show with us and let's talk about stuff. And one of the guys we consider family here is Derek Holland, who's the first person to ever donate an item for auction, and he was one of our first guests ever on Peace-a-thon. Derek Holland, welcome to the show today, man.
Well, thank you.
Now, we know that you are training today. You're going to be training out in Fort Worth. Do you want to give the destination so everybody can come train with you?
Yeah, come on out, man. It's APEC.
All right.
Fort Worth. Come check it out.
That's what I'm talking about. That's Derek Holland right there, that kind of guy. All right, so and I know Gallo is training today. A lot of guys I hear are kind of in that mode. Is this a time to start getting ready for the season already?
To be honest, there's no, like, the only off season we really have, and people don't realize that, is we only have until the end of October, really. Most guys start up at the beginning of November. Some guys even start up, 2 weeks after the season is. So it's all each person's preference. I usually take 1 month at least, and then from there I do my thing.
What is it that you work on? Because I know one off season you got bigger, and you were talking about what the training staff worked with you on getting bigger and stronger. So at this point in your career, what are you trying to look at to add for next season?
Well, I mean, consistency is one of the big things that I want. So I'll be working on pitching with my location. I noticed towards the end of the year when I was starting to struggle with location. I was missing over the middle. But when I came in as a reliever, adrenaline takes over. So I had a lot better numbers as a reliever. But it's just one of those things, you want to work on that. And then obviously your typical, you know, you're trying to gain more muscle mass, trying to condition the body, keep yourself in shape, and kind of just work on little things like watching video. What did I do wrong? What did I do right? Just kind of correcting yourself.
I was hoping you can walk us through, I guess, whether it was, you know, with the White Sox, the Giants, along the way, was there ever a time where you had any struggles, or I guess particularly the White Sox jumped to mind, where you thought this might be the end of the road for my major league career?
When I started struggling towards the end of the White Sox, that was a big one. It was a very stressful time. It actually got a little depressing because I thought for sure that the way that things were going, I was like, this really could be it. I was like literally in panic mode to like, what am I going to do? Like, I love this game so much. I want to try to give back. I want to try to coach. I want to do all that stuff. So I kept thinking constantly, like, what am I going to do? Because I feel like this is it. Like, I've reached the end of the road because I'm getting released. You know, I always joke about this with my friends, but September is when you call people up. And I got released on the day that you call people up. So it's like you expand the rosters, but I wasn't good enough to be a part of that. And that's when it hit me pretty hard. And I thought about, man, this really could be it.
So then when you get another, how much do you cherish it when you get that other opportunity and then are able to take advantage of that opportunity?
Honestly, every time I get a chance to go out there and try to prove myself and fix what I've done wrong, you know, when I got released, I motivated myself and continued to kind of push and show that I'm not done. I'm now 33, but I'm not done. I've got plenty in the tank still. I'm still throwing as hard as I pretty much was when I first got called up, maybe a little bit down from that. But I mean, I'm still the same guy. It's just now I gotta pay more attention to more of the analytics side, because the thing that people don't realize is analytics is taking over sports in general. You can go from, I've heard you guys talk about it yesterday. I'm not trying to stir the pot anymore, but
no, bring it up.
That's what you do.
No, I know. I was listening to Sean and RJ yesterday morning, and man, I felt bad because I heard Mickey talk about, you know, the analytics side, and people don't realize analytics is taking over the game. It may not have hit every single team, but it's on its way. every team talks about it. Every team thinks about it. You see a lot of teams doing it. It's one of those things that when numbers are out there, they're going to help you to win. But at the same time, yeah, they're not going to work every single time. It's just like when you get a stat that says 9 out of 10, there's that one time it doesn't work. So it's going to happen that way. So with me, I've started to pick up on what is becoming of baseball. And a big thing is spin rate. People worry about the spin rate. They worry about the location, where people are hitting, where people are missing. There's so many things that we get now in sports that I've been in the league for 10 years, but 10 years is not that much. But for how much the game has changed in that time with the analytics side of it, that makes a big difference. And it shows when you're seeing all these guys that are all the teams that I've played for, I should say, that are coming out with all these things. Like I'm throwing bullpens when I was with the Cubs and I had cameras on me, watching me, my finger placement, the spin rate, the location, every single thing was out there all because of the numbers. They want to put these numbers together and they would tell me, hey, this is what's most successful for you. This is what's not working for you. So those are the things that I'm starting to really get a hold of and starting to use myself more. I bought myself one of the machines so that I can see my own spin rate, work on that, and try to improve my own game.
The other part of it, too, is I imagine each coaching staff has different things that they really want to look at more, or different analytics, different numbers that they're putting even into the game plan whenever you're going to pitch. So, was there a difference between, I guess, Wash to Bannister to Bochy to Madden?
Yeah, there's so with Wash, you know, Wash was very he was very at the beginning of the career for me of where analytics wasn't quite there yet. So he was still doing more of the coaching player type thing where, you know, it's all of what he's experienced and what he's gone through that would help him and guide him, which at the end of the day, experience is the most we can get from anything. But as I was going through Bannister, that's a whole different story. And then we'll go to Madden. Madden is big into the numbers. He was using those kind of things, and those played. So when I first got traded, for example, when I got traded to the Cubs, I was still just a reliever. I was facing both righty and lefty. But because of my numbers against lefties, he only used me against lefties. Unless if, like, I like to say this just to joke around because it's funny, but it was like if we needed mop-up duty, I was out there. I would help out because that's just who I am. That's my nature is I want to get the ball. I want to do it. I don't care if I'm giving up 38 runs or I'm not giving up any runs. I want to be out there and help those guys as much as I possibly can. And he was more of he used the numbers, and he used them very well. Unfortunately, yes, we didn't go to the playoffs. We didn't win the World Series, all that. So I get it.
Now I've been playing a lot of baseball with my kids in the backyard and out at the backstop near our house recently because they got reinvested in the game a little bit and they're more capable. One of the things that they hate is whenever I throw to them and they hit the ball far, they have to go get the ball. And I'm like, yeah, that's part of it. I spent most of my high school baseball career shagging balls and collecting buckets of balls. If you could figure out how much time you spent shagging and collecting balls, do you think you could put it into an amount of hours?
I think we should have tried to word that a little bit differently.
Oh, man, yeah.
That sounds like a personal problem.
I thought it was hot. I liked the way you said it.
Of course. Well, that's how the thing is. I grew up that way, is just like you just said. Man, if I hit a ball, if it was out of my dad's reach, all right, you better believe I'm going to go get it. It's the same thing. Like, we got to, you know, these are things you got to work on. I mean, you can't just hit a ball and be like, all right, that's it, done. I'm not going to get that. So I think it was cool that you could do that with him. But I kind of forgot the question because I got distracted by your ball comment.
How many hours have you shagged balls?
Oh, I've shagged balls for a long time. I mean, I've always been shagging balls. Shagging balls has been one of the things I've done as a pitcher, is just shagging balls.
What are you doing? This is our charity show, and it's 10 in the morning.
Well, I mean, you just asked me if I was shagging balls.
I did not ask any such questions, sir.
It's part of baseball,
That's
Kevin.
True. You've been pretty quiet this entire time, I'm not going to lie.
I've been letting his shenanigans run wild. Hey, I don't know if you can help us out with this, but y'all would have been in the same division for just a minute. Do you have any knowledge, or did you ever pitch against Kyle Gibson, formerly of the Twins, because he just signed with the Rangers?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't really know much about him, so I can't really – that's one thing I can't really help you with. I know he was with the Twins. The ballpark he was pitching in, definitely not pitcher-friendly. I don't know. That's about the best I can give you on that I didn't really watch him.
Fair enough.
That's interesting, though, real quick about the
not-pitcher-friendly
ballpark. Do you think the new ballpark for the Rangers is going to be pitcher-friendly or hitter-friendly?
So that's the thing. I think that's kind of intriguing to most free agents is you don't know what the ballpark's going to bring. So you don't know what to expect. So a guy that's looking to get a long-term deal, they're going to look at that and kind of question what is it, because they don't know if it's going to be – if it's a hitter, they don't know if it's going to be very beneficial to them. As a pitcher, they don't know if that's going to hurt them. You know, those are some things that you kind of look into when you're looking at places to play. But at the same time, you also – you know that money talks, so that's the big thing.
Without getting into the specifics of anyone in particular, though, if they heard you talking a minute ago, I'm sure. No.
I know you guys talk about him a lot.
I mean, sure. Look, we shoot big. Rendon, Cole. We understand. Well,
hold on. Let me say one thing. I don't think it matters where Cole pitches. I don't know if you guys watched him pitch at all, but that guy throws absolute gas and. He's got nasty, I wish I could say the word, but rhymes with...
Stuff is good.
Yeah, stuff works. Stuff. He's got nasty stuff.
Hey, can you tell us anything about your... I know we talked about this off-air last month, about your contractual status. Are the Cubs... Are you locked into the Cubs for another year? What can you tell us about that?
Well, the fun fact, at my charity event, I even made this, you know, just to throw it out there. I am a free agent. I am not with the Cubs anymore. They declined the option, which I knew was going to happen. And as far as I know, yes, they would like to have me back. I don't really know. I'm not going to sit and say too much. But I made a comment saying it would be nice to come back home.
Interesting. Anything in particular that would spur your desire to come back home as opposed to, I don't know, a couple of years ago?
Well, it seems too now that from what I've talked to a couple of the guys that I know with the Rangers, that there are some analytics that are taking place.
Okay.
All right. There is definitely some spin rate stuff going on. There's some things that they had actually talked to me about when they first were trying to possibly get me to come back was being a full-time reliever, and I wasn't ready for that. Now it's 100% go. I can, if you want me to spot start, I can do it, but I see myself now as – more of a reliever.
What would coming back here mean to you? Like, outside of just baseball, I know you live here or you spend a lot of time here. What would be being able to come back to your de facto home mean?
Well, one thing I do want to say that it sucked for me was when I came home, I wanted to see the Rangers ballpark or the Globe Life. What is it called now? I don't know what it's called now.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's still here. Globe Life, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to see the ballpark just because of the fact that, you know, I have some great memories here. This is where it all started for me. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, I could come here and see it before it got tore down. Well, unfortunately, when I got there, they were already doing this stuff for the XFL. So I got to make a slight post for it, but I think it'd be pretty cool to get to start back over here in Arlington as a reliever. In the new stadium, and it would be kind of cool just because I didn't get to be here for when they called me on the All Rangers Globe Life team.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be cool to start it back up again and be able to see the fans again and play in front of them as well.
Real quick, Derek, I know you do, and you know, we're doing Peace-a-thon today for my possibilities, but you do some great work with 60 Feet 6, 60feet6.org. Anything you want to – you guys did some great stuff over at the Rustic recently.
Yeah, it was actually a really good event. We had a lot of fun, had Josh Weathers singing for us, which he put on an unbelievable show.
Told you.
If you've never seen him, please check it out on YouTube. He's got some good stuff. One thing I would like to say, though, that was really cool I'm putting on a Luka jersey right now for my workouts today. Cause,
nice.
You know, I represent, you know. But I want to say that I was actually, so obviously my foundation was about kids with cancer and it all started because of Briggs Berry. But there's also a little girl, I don't know if you've seen it on my Instagram, I took her to Legoland, all that good stuff, had some fun with her. She's been going through some serious things, and I didn't think she was going to get to come and see me at the event, and she actually came and surprised me, and it shook me.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting it. I was not, you know, I was told the whole time that I probably would not be able to see her, because they were going to try to get her in for her treatments, and unfortunately they couldn't get her in because the blood count was too low, if I'm correct. And so she actually showed up and surprised me, brought me this little mini unicorn, everything. And it made me break down when I was trying to give my speech, which my speech always makes me break down anyway. But to have somebody who I've become super close with, you know, tell me they weren't going to be able to come to the event, you know, due to the circumstances, which I understood, and actually show up and surprise me just shows what I've been doing and how much of an impact I've made on her. And it just meant so much more to me than, you know, what I've been doing. Like, it just changes everything for you. And I tell people all the time, if you can ever get a chance to interact with some kids that are going through these things, or for instance, you know, when I went with you guys to, man, what was that? What's that place called?
It was Hipster Relay at My Possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when we were there at the school, and you showed me everything, and, man, I had a blast. Like, I did. I dressed up in the donut suit. I surprised you guys.
And harassed me. Yes, I remember.
But, I mean, it's the thing is, people don't realize is when you interact with these people, it changes everything for you. It puts things into a different perspective, because everybody always sits there and tells themselves they're not I shouldn't say it like that, but they're not they don't worry about it until it affects them. But instead of waiting for it to affect you or get to you, go out there and help those that are already affected. You know, that's the main thing. It's like, for me, I want to do as much as I can to bring joy and happiness and take people away from those things, because it's such a sad time. And if you can take people away from it, it changes everything. It makes everything so much better for these people that are going through these tough times. And I've been lucky enough to have you guys and all the other people that I've interacted with that got me to go get involved. They've changed everything for me. They've changed my perspective of how I need to carry myself and how I go about my business, and realizing how important things are and how we can't just take life for granted. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what can happen, you know, tomorrow or in an hour. We don't know any of that stuff. So we got to take advantage of it and live every moment to our fullest and have fun and embrace everybody that needs it.
Well, we appreciate that sentiment. We appreciate all your help consistently with My Possibilities and all the work you're doing with 60 Feet 6. That's 60feet6.org. Thank you so much, Derek.
No problem. Are you kicking me off the air now?
Yeah, you got to go, yep. Man. We got to go.
That is such
bull. Go work. Whoa! Hey, go work out. Get better. Get stronger and throw good and stuff.
I wanted to get back into analytics. I wanted to talk Mavericks. I wanted to talk Cowboys. Well, I was ready to do the whole, I thought I was getting hired by you guys.
More spin rate. No, more spin rate.
Once you sign with the Rangers, then we'll have all those conversations.
Yes, perfect. All right, I'll talk to JD about it.
There you go. Bye, Dutch.
Thank you, guys.
Derek Holland, we might get fined for tampering after that, Corey. I'm not entirely sure.
I will.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.